Well, it was an incredible year, and there is no better place to be on the final Sunday of 2021 than right here in God's house with God's family. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Well, hopefully you had an incredible Christmas. You know, I think most of us would agree that the best Christmas gifts are the gifts that keep on giving. Amen? It's the best kind of gift. I mean, you can buy somebody a steak, but a steak subscription is taking it to another level. Somebody say amen to that. You can wash somebody's car, but a subscription to the car wash is even better. You can buy somebody a jar of jelly, but a Jelly of the Month Club. I mean, come on, let's just admit it right now. There's nothing better than that. Listen, Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago as God's gift to mankind. But today, I want us to see that God never intended for Jesus to be a one-and-done gift. He never said, hey, I'm sending my son to planet Earth so that you could hear about him and say a one-time prayer. He never said, I want you to just ask him for forgiveness one time and so he could save you. He never said, I want you to have a one-time moment with me so that you don't have to spend eternity in hell. That's not what God said at all. Now, don't get me wrong. Salvation through Christ was certainly a major part of that original Christmas day. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But what so many people miss in the Christmas story is this. Jesus not only came to save you, he came to walk with you. He came to lead you. He came to guide you. He came to protect you. He came to give you joy and peace and wisdom and life. He came to give you power that you don't have and gifts that you don't possess and forgiveness that's required for salvation. God gave Jesus as the greatest gift to mankind. But listen to me. He was never intended to be a one and done gift. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Somebody say amen, church. Come on. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And I hope you're taking notes today because I'm going to invite you right now to join me in John chapter 15. And we're going to walk through this text together. And I want us to pick up on some things that Jesus is going to teach us. And he's explaining to his disciples in this text what receiving this gift really looks like. What it looks like to receive the gift of Jesus and how we can benefit from the presence of Christ in our own lives, in our own families, in our own church, and in our own community. So John chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it'll produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So right off the bat, I want you to see that Jesus paints a word picture here that his followers could understand. Jesus loved using word pictures in his teachings. And for that reason, I wouldn't be surprised if they were actually standing in a vineyard when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. I mean, just imagine that for a minute. Jesus is pointing to a vine that had branches stemming from the vine. Now, some branches produced grapes, and other branches produced nothing. And his disciples would have been familiar enough to know if a branch produces nothing, you have to prune that branch. If there's no fruit on the branch, you cut it back so that the vine can become more fruitful. And so with that understanding, Jesus comes right out of the bat and he says, I need to tell you two things. Number one, I am the true vine. Can you hear Jesus saying that? I am the true vine. And then number two, he comes out and says, and you, my friends, are the branches. Now that word true, if you write in your Bible, I want you to circle that word true. That word true or truth is used 35 times in the book of John. But right here, when Jesus uses that word, I believe he was reminding his followers that day that he alone was the true Messiah. He was saying, I alone am the Son of the living God. Now, in that day, there were many men that were walking around this area claiming to be the Messiah. You can read about that in the writings of Josephus and several other historians. But there are a lot of men claiming to be the Messiah in that day. There were many men recruiting followers and convincing people to follow them. And so Jesus reminds his disciples here and says, hey, people are going to follow other men. People are going to put their hope and their trust and their faith in other people, but I am the true vine. I'm the real deal. He said this before, I'm the way, the truth, the life. He's saying over and over again, I alone am the one true Messiah. And so after clarifying the fact that he alone was the true vine, he goes on in verse 4 and tells him this, remain in me and I in you. Other versions say, and I will remain in you. Jesus came to save us, but his desire is to remain in us. And there's a big difference. Yes, he came to save us, but his desire is to remain in us. And he says, we need to remain in him. Check this out. And if we do remain in him, if we do remain in him, then he will remain in us. Now, if that sounds like Jesus just made a conditional promise, it's because he did. Now, don't misunderstand what this means. This isn't Jesus insinuating that God doesn't love us or that God doesn't love the world. He does. In fact, God communicates very clearly that he has a providential love over all creation. And that unconditional love will remain the same until he brings the new heaven and the new earth. So get this today. The love of God is unconditional. But at the same time, lean in right here, there are some promises of God and there are some benefits that come from God that are conditional. And we see that in this passage. Jesus tells us that we must remain in Christ in order to receive the benefits that come from the true vine. And I want us to see a few of those benefits today. And that's why I said, I really hope you're taking notes. Because in this passage, we're going to see five conditional promises that come from Jesus that you want today. You want to receive from the true vine. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not a note taker, become one today. It's the last Sunday of the year. Become one today. If you don't have something to write on, grab that smartphone, go to the notes section, and start writing as fast as you can. This is good stuff out of John chapter 15, and the things that I believe that the Lord wants us to know. Here's the first one I want to point out. He says, remain in Christ, and he will use you to produce fruit. He will use you to produce fruit. Now remember, it's conditional, which means if you don't, he won't. If you don't remain in Christ, you won't produce fruit. Look at verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Now, listen to that last phrase. This is Jesus talking to his followers and he reminds them, you can do nothing without me. Now, I know a lot of people walking around on planet Earth today believe they can do a lot of things without Jesus. We're trying really hard to do life without Jesus in many different ways. Right here, Jesus is saying, not you can't do nothing. He's saying you can do nothing significant without me. You can do nothing that actually matters without me. You can do nothing that's gonna matter for eternity without me. You can do nothing because I am the true vine. He's saying I'm the source. And it all comes down to the fact you gotta stay connected to the source if you're going to accomplish what God created you to accomplish. You know, the other day, the air in my tire was low. And so I pulled my truck around to the garage and I got the air compressor out of the garage and I carried it close to the vehicle and I connected that hose to the little tire valve stem. And then I proceeded to go back to the air compressor to flip on the switch. And when I flipped on the switch, you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. I was like Clark Griswold, right? It's like, shh, nothing, all right? And so I connected it and nothing happened. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I started to backtrack a little bit. I looked and it was connected to the tire. The compressor was connected to the extension cord. It was all plugged in and I was like, well, it should be working. So I go back, I flip the switch again and you know what happened? Nothing happened. That's what happened, nothing. So I decided I was gonna backtrack a little bit further and I checked again. The compressor was plugged into the extension cord, but was the extension cord plugged into the wall? Yes, it was, believe it or not, it was. And even though I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, it's connected to the wall, it's connected to the compressor, compressor's plugged into the tire, I flipped the switch, and you know what happens? Nothing happens again. I'm frustrated. But I decided I was gonna go back to the wall and I was gonna check a little further and I checked, you know, a little GFI switch, the thing that gets tripped. I was like, maybe that thing tripped. Maybe that thing's not working. So I checked the connections all the way back to the GFI switch on the little plug in the wall. And you know what? It was good. So everything looked like it should be working. And as I stood there trying to figure out why it wasn't working, why it wasn't doing what it was designed to do, why my compressor had absolutely no power, I finally had this thought. The source that's required right here isn't a cord. The source isn't a plug. The source isn't a switch. The source that's required is electricity. And so I made my way all the way back. I backtracked all the way back to the breaker box. And I came to find out that the breaker had been tripped. And all I had to do was flip that one little breaker and everything else worked. The plug worked. The cord worked. The compressor worked. And because the compressor worked, my tire was filled with air and my problem was solved. Get this today. If you're not connected to the source, it ain't gonna work. You have to be connected to the power source. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples here. He's telling his disciples, you are going to fish for people. Do you remember when Jesus told them that? Do you remember when he looked at his disciples and he said, hey, if you're a follower of mine, you're going to make disciples. Do you remember that? You are going to fish for people. You're going to make disciples. He said, that is your job. That is your God-given assignment on planet Earth. And in this passage, he tells his followers, you will produce fruit. Now, I don't want this to be a Bible story that we think back that it doesn't apply to us. I want you to imagine Jesus is in your face today, and he's pointing his finger at you, and he's saying, you will make disciples. You will produce fruit. You will fish for people, because that's the instruction that he's giving us here. But then he goes on to say, in order for you to accomplish your mission, you must remain in me. You, my friend, must remain in me. Perhaps you hear that today and you're considering your own life and you would honestly say, you know, Pastor, I got to be honest, I'm not producing fruit. And I just believe there's some people that are listening to this today that would have to be honest before God and say, in my life right now, I'm not producing fruit. My life, I'm not making disciples. I'm not sharing my faith. I'm not raising up young Timothys. I'm not seeing fruit that comes from faithfulness and following God in my life. If you're honest before God and you would say that today, may I just ask you a simple question? Are you remaining in Christ? Are you connected to the source? Are you doing what Jesus commanded you to do? Because Jesus says, the one who remains in me and I in him will produce fruit. Not mine. He said, you will produce fruit. But then he goes on to say this. He said, but you can do nothing without me. You can do nothing. He goes on in verse 6 to show us why this is such a big deal. He warns us saying, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they're burned. Jesus goes back to that word picture here and he tells us that branches that don't remain on the vine die. And that really is. I mean, that's a vivid picture from Jesus. And really, it's a warning from Jesus. And he's saying this. He's saying, believer, don't be deceived. Don't buy a lie that says you can survive off the vine. Because Jesus makes it clear, you must remain in me. And when you remain in me, I will use you to produce fruit. The second thing he's going to show us in this text is this. We got to remain in Christ. And he says, remain in Christ and he will hear your prayers. Remain in Christ and he will hear your prayers. How many of you want Jesus to hear your prayers today? Anybody else? I want Jesus. When I open up my mouth and open up my heart, I want Jesus to hear me. I want to have a clear line of connection to the Lord. And he tells us right here how to make that happen. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. This is another one of those conditional promises. And it's important for us to understand here what he's saying. Jesus wasn't saying in this verse that our obedience to God forces him to do whatever we want him to do. A lot of people love to read that verse like this, like, oh yeah, I've got to obey Jesus because, you know, that's how I get my way, right? But I want you to understand when he's talking here, our obedience to God doesn't twist his arm. Our obedience to God doesn't twist his arm and make him grant our wishes. Remember, he's not a magic genie. He's the God of the universe, amen? And right here, Jesus was simply teaching the same principle that we read where the psalmist wrote in Psalm 37:4, which says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. A lot of us have read that before, and some people still read that and say, well, that's what that means. I delight in God, and then God works for me, right? I love God, I do what God tells me to do, and then if I want something, then God must do it for me. That's what he said. If I love God and I delight in God and I want to be a billionaire, then God better make me a billionaire, because that's what he just said. That's my heart's desire. Well, here's the part that we often miss. When we remain in Christ and his word remains in us, his desires become our desires. Do you get that? His desires become our desires as he changes our heart. He changes our perspective, which means when I delight in the Lord, I surrender my selfishness. When I delight in the Lord, I surrender my sinfulness, and I therefore pursue the things and prioritize the things that God pursues and God prioritizes. And that's why it's so important that we stay connected to the vine, stay connected to the source, so that we can get that and walk in obedience to God, yes, but also experience the will of God. You say, how do we do that? How do we stay connected to the source? Well, the Bible tells us we do that by prayer. We do that by petition. We do that by reading God's word. We do that in this setting. We do that by staying surrounded by Christ followers who love the Lord and sharpen us and also point us back to the source. Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. And when that's the case, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. In other words, ask anything according to my will and my will be done. See, there's power in prayer. But that power can only be experienced if you're connected to the source. You gotta stay connected to the source. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Remain in Christ and he will hear your prayers. All right, note takers, let me give you a third one. This is a big one. You ready? The word's gonna tell us remain in Christ and God will be glorified. Anybody else wanna glorify God with their life? Man, that is the purpose that we're here. We wanna bring glory to his name. But the Bible says here, if you don't remain in Christ, then you won't bring glory to his name. Look at verse 8. Jesus is still talking here and he says this, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. I'm gonna read that one more time. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Notice he's still using that conditional language here. And here's the summary of what he's saying. If you wanna summarize it, it's pretty clear. He says, when you remain in Christ, you will produce much fruit. When you produce much fruit, you will prove to be my disciple. And when you prove to be my disciple, you will glorify God with your life. I wanna say it again, that's a lot. But man, the progression is so good. He says, when you remain in me, you will produce much fruit. When you produce much fruit, you will prove to be my disciple. When you prove to be my disciple, you will glorify God with your life. You say, man, does that mean if I'm not producing fruit for God and I'm not proving to be a disciple of God, that my life isn't glorifying God? Well, here's a hard truth. Are you ready for it? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. That's exactly what he's saying. He just told us, in order for you to accomplish your God-given purpose, which is to bring glory to God through your life, he says, you must remain in Christ, you must produce fruit for Christ, and you must prove to be a disciple of Christ. This is very similar to what we read in the book of Hebrews regarding how our lives can be pleasing to God. It's one of those verses that hits me right between the eyes every time I read it. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you to read that. I want you to try to wrap your mind around this verse right here. It's so simple, and yet it's so powerful. It's so clear on what God's expectations really are. You read that and you're like, okay, does that mean if I'm living a life that doesn't require faith, that I'm not living a life that's pleasing to God? Once again, don't shoot the messenger, but that's exactly what God is saying in Hebrews 11:6. He says, our faith is what pleases God. Do you get that today? Living by faith pleases God. Giving by faith pleases God. Believing God for something big. Our faith pleases God. Trusting God when life is scary. Our faith pleases God. Our lack of faith doesn't please God. And in the same way, Jesus said, you want to glorify God with your life, with your family, with your marriage and your community. You want to glorify God and accomplish what God created you to do. Here it is. Remain in Jesus. Remain in Jesus. And when you do, you'll produce much fruit. And when you produce much fruit, you'll prove to be my disciples. And when you prove to be my disciples by the way you live your life, you're going to prove that you are a real follower of Jesus Christ. And your life has never been the same since. Remain in Christ, and God will be glorified. The fourth thing he's going to show us in this text is this. He says, remain in Christ, and you will remain in his love. Remain in Christ, and you will remain in his love. Jesus goes on to say in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Here's the progression of what Jesus said in these verses. He says, hey, if you remain in me, you will love me. And if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love. You get it? Look at it one more time. If you remain in me, you'll love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. This is when this conditional language starts to get a little bit scary. And that's why we really need to lean in here and listen to what Jesus is saying. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus talked about this very same thing, and he put it this way. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Have you read that verse? If you love me, it's an if. He doesn't force you to love him, but if you tune your heart to God, if you yield your life to his will, he says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. You go on and you read later in that verse, verse 21 of that same chapter, Jesus goes on to say this. He said, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. In this passage, Jesus isn't telling Christians, he isn't telling his disciples, if you slip up and disobey me, you're out. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, when you have this momentary lapse of faithfulness, guess what? You just lost your salvation and you're no longer going to heaven. That's not what he's saying here at all. When you look at what he's saying in this verse, you can summarize it by this. You ready? He's saying our obedience will reveal our allegiance. Our obedience to God will reveal our allegiance to God. Or you can go to the flip side of that. Our disobedience to God also reveals our lack of allegiance to God. Because there's a lot of people that say they love God out there. I don't know if you guys have met these people or not. They're everywhere. There are people out there right now that will raise their hand and they will say, listen, I love God. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I was born in a Sunday school room. I've been a member of his church my whole life. I love Jesus. I'm a faithful follower of Christ. And yet these same people are the people that would have to be honest and say, you know what? But I've never surrendered my life to the Lord. I've never gone all in with Jesus. I've never obeyed his commands. I've never died to myself. I've never surrendered and repented from my sinfulness. I've never become a new creation in Christ. I love the Lord, but I don't obey the Lord. Listen, many people claim to love God. Many people claim to know God. You know why? Because many people want the benefits of God. They want to be saved. They want to go to heaven. They want to experience an abundant life. But Jesus in this text is going to tell us it's not enough to claim Christ. God expects you to remain in Christ. It's not enough for us to just claim him. He wants us to remain in him. And he tells us when you remain in Christ, you will love him. And when you love him, you will obey his commands. And when you obey his commands, you will remain in his love. Let me ask you something. Are you loving him today? Are you obeying him today? Are you remaining in his love today? Because Jesus says in a conditional way that you will remain in his love. If you are walking with him and following him and loving him by the way you live your life. Let me give you one more thought today. This is a short sermon today. Y'all ought to be really happy with me today. Number five, this is the last point, and then we're wrapping this thing up. You ready? The Bible says, remain in Christ and your joy will be complete. It's great having Stephen Johnson leading worship today. We're singing about the joy of the Lord is in this place. And the whole time he's singing, I'm getting fired up because I'm like, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's saying your joy can be complete because of Jesus. If you remain in Christ, your joy can be complete. But guess what? In a conditional way, if you don't remain in Christ, your joy won't be complete. Verse 11, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you. And your joy may be complete. I'm really glad Jesus included that statement. I'm really glad he did, because it reminds us today that joy is available through Jesus. It's available. I don't care what your circumstances look like. It could be as grim as all get out. But check this out. Jesus said, circumstances aside, your joy can be complete because of who I am. Really, when you think about it, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about the joy of the Lord. It's a joy to the world. The Lord has come, right? The angel said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. Jesus tells us the reason I tell you these things, the reason I came in the first place is to bring you joy. And that joy is possible today. That joy is possible for you. He said that joy is possible for all people. Jesus was God's gift to us. And he didn't come to be a one and done gift. He's the gift that keeps on giving. He's the source. He's the true vine. The one who remains in him, according to God, will produce much fruit. But without him, we can do nothing. You know, as I was reading this, it's just clear to me. It's not enough for us just to be plugged into a cord. It's not enough for us just to be plugged into religion or good works. It's not enough for us to be plugged into a wall. Praying won't get you where you're trying to get. Reading your Bible, going to church, being a good boy and a good girl, that's not going to accomplish what you want to be accomplished. Jesus said, you have to be plugged in to the source. You got to be plugged into the source. And that source is Jesus. And the Bible says it is only through Jesus that you are saved. Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Hear me loud and clear today. He is the true source. And it's through Jesus and Jesus alone that you can truly be saved. Religion won't do it. Showing up to church the day after Christmas won't do it. Being a good person, giving a lot of money, volunteering, giving your time, you can be the world's greatest philanthropist and die and spend eternity in hell without Jesus. But he says, you have an opportunity today, right now, to remain in me, to plug into the source, and I can give you life that you have never even dreamed of. And I can give you hope for the future. It's only through Jesus that we are truly saved. But the second thing this reminds us of is this. It's only through Jesus that we will bear much fruit. that we will bear much fruit and accomplish what Jesus created us to accomplish. Man, can you honestly say today that you're bearing fruit in your life? Is there enough evidence in your life today to convict you of being a Christian? Is there enough evidence? The people around you, can they look at your life and say, convicted, done. It is clear as day. That person loves Jesus. Man, are you bearing fruit? Are you remaining in Jesus? Are you loving him? Has that love transitioned into you obeying him? Are you proving to be a disciple of Jesus just by the way you live, by the way you walk, by the way you talk? Can somebody look at your countenance today and say, God has changed their life? The joy of the Lord has been complete in their heart. Look at them, they're different. They look like Christ. Craziness. I want to be crazy in love with Jesus this year. I want to prove to be a disciple of Jesus this year, but I can't do that unless I'm remaining in him. Here's what the Bible taught us today. When we remain in Jesus, we'll produce much fruit. When we remain in Jesus, God will hear our prayers. When we remain in Jesus, God will be glorified. When we remain in Jesus, we will remain in his love. And when we remain in Jesus, our joy will be complete. Man, do you want that this year? I do. I do. And yet there are some of us today that still need to do business with the Lord before we can say all of those things. I believe with all my heart that there are people today that need to remain in Jesus by plugging into the source for the very first time. There are people here today that need to be saved because you try to be religious and you try to be good and you try to make good decisions and you've tried to clean up your life and become a better version of yourself and you've fallen short every single time. And Jesus said, guess what? I haven't given up on you. I'm still pursuing you. My salvation is still available. I can forgive you of your sins. I can give you hope today, but you can't experience that until you plug into the source. And I believe there are people here today, people watching this or listening to this today, that need to do that. You need to step out by faith and you need to ask Jesus to save you. Listen, do you need to give your life to the Lord today? If so, why don't you do it right there where you're at? Just say, Jesus, he's speaking to me. I know you're speaking to me. And I give you my life as best that I know how. I turn away from my sin. I turn to you as my hope for salvation. I want to go all in with Jesus. I want to be a child of the King. I want that joy. I want that hope. And I know I've got to plug into you if I want to experience it. Man, can you say that today? If I'm talking to you and God's all over you, why would you hesitate? Why would you hesitate to receive the greatest gift that God ever made available when today you can go all in with Jesus and be changed for all eternity? My prayer is that someone today will give their life to Jesus and make it abundantly clear that they mean business with God. But there's a lot of us today, we've already done that. We've done it. We've asked Jesus to save us. We've stepped into a real relationship with God, and yet we've wavered in our faithfulness. Anybody else just say, hey, you're talking to me on this one. We've wavered in our faithfulness, and we can't say these things today because we haven't remained in Jesus. We plugged into him, and now we're seeing, you know what? It's not a one and done thing. Walking an aisle, giving my life to Jesus, being baptized, that shouldn't be the finish line. That's the starting line. And now I've got to walk with Jesus. He wants to walk with me. And this needs to be an ongoing relationship where I receive the benefits of Christ because of what he's instructed me to do. Listen, there may be people here today that just need to have a fresh renewal of your commitment with Christ. And what a great time to do it. It's the last Sunday of the year. Why start another year without remaining in Jesus? Why would you do that? When he says today, you can get serious in your faith. Today, you can really, really step into this loving relationship where you're obeying me and experiencing my blessings and walking in my will and living in faithfulness. Man, what a great blessing it would be to start a brand new year with Christ right now. You don't have to wait till January 1st to get right with Jesus. You can do it right now. I'm talking to some dads in this room that need to step into that leadership role in their family. I'm talking to some parents right now that need to start discipling their kids. I'm talking to some marriages right now that you're split up and you're angry because you're being selfish and you're being sinful. I'm talking about some people that need to repent from sin. I'm talking about some people that need to plug into church and need to prioritize the things of God and need to start serving. I'm talking about some people that have been robbing God for so long. He's blessed your socks off and you've never given back to the things that God told you to give back to. I'm talking about some people that are not experiencing God's very best because you haven't remained in Christ. Today's that opportunity. I read this verse or this passage this week, and it's like God took his Bible and just went, pow, popped me right in the face. Let him pop you in the face today. Let him wake you up today. Some of us have been asleep at the wheel for a long time, and it's time to remain in Christ. I want to experience God's very best this year. Can you say the same thing?